Well, Eddie McGee is another civil servant. He started working as a mail carrier in the 90s, and from the beginning, he wanted his job to be more than just putting mail in a box. So he walked door to door and began to develop friendships with people along his route, and soon they began an informal exchange of baked goods and cooking advice. I mean, you take Dottie Swift, for instance. Now, she knew the secret to a perfect biscuit, and others served him daily plates of fried chicken and black-eyed peas. Well, unbeknownst to Eddie, one day one of those folks called Southern Living magazine about their baking mail carrier, and soon enough, Eddie and his famous cream cheese pound cake were featured in the magazine, and hundreds of readers reached out to Eddie for baking advice. After 10 years, Eddie eventually left the United States Postal Service, but he continued to expand his passion for creativity, and he is now the executive director of the Stokes County Arts Council. And you know, in the past few years, he's worked to gain support and funding for a new arts, culture, and entertainment center that will celebrate its grand opening later this year. And right now, I want to introduce you to Eddie McGee. Welcome to the State of Things. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you, Frank.
Well, so let's start out with the mail route and what got you interested in sharing recipes along the way.
Well, at that time, I was a city carrier in Elkin, which is here in North Carolina. And the majority of the customers on my route were, I'd say, elderly women. And we would get into discussions about recipes, and they would want to share their baked goods with me. And
but you, of course, turned them down.
Okay, of course.
No.
And so I enjoy cooking as well. And so I started baking. And this was not for the entire route. This was only maybe 20 or 30 ladies, and
still a lot of biscuits.
Yes,
you know.
Still a lot of biscuits. You know, and at the time, I think back, I never had to buy lunch. I was always one of the customers was fixing me something. But that's how it began, and before I knew it, I was baking food for my customers and sharing it with them. And as you mentioned, to this day, I still don't know exactly who on the route contacted Southern Living magazine and said, "Hey, my mailman bakes for us," and then the pressure was on.
So. We're going to find out more about that pound cake, because the recipe really lit up some lights at Southern Living magazine. We're going to get to that in a minute. But how did you become a postal carrier? Because there's a bit of a story there as well.
Yeah, I had, I had had actually a great grandfather of mine was a postmaster at Winston-Salem many, many, many years ago. And, a postal service job, everyone says it's great pay and great benefits. It's a solid job. And when you get out of college, that's what you were at that mm-hmm. time was pushed to go into. And so I actually had a friend who was in management in Winston-Salem Postal Service. And he said, "I think you'll be a good addition. Why don't you apply? And you have to take the test." And so I went through that process. And there I was. But it was somewhat of a mundane job. No offense to the postal folks out there, but I wanted to make it more than just putting mail in a box.
So that's when you started to develop these relationships. You
sure.
spent time. You talked about the biscuits. Tell us about Dottie's biscuits.
Dorothy Swift, yes, in Elkin. And she was the one that, I guess, started it all for me. And little tidbits about or advice. Don't ever put soap on your tin pan when you're making biscuits. You just brush it off. Some of you probably already know this. And she cooked for me every day. Fried chicken. And, you're a mailman. You're trying to keep the weight off. And there's a lady that comes up every day with fried chicken and biscuits and mashed potatoes. But she was an amazing lady and taught me a lot as far as Pyrex bowl, putting water in it when you're baking something in the oven to add moisture mm-hmm. inside so the cake doesn't dry out. And
stuff like that. So then when you started reciprocating, was that just out of, some sense of gratitude? Or did you feel like you wanted to test their recipes and say, was this it?
Well, again, I've been cooking since I was very, very young. Both of my parents cooked. My father was a great cook, and both of my grandparents. And so it was somewhat out of reciprocation, but I wanted to, to learn from them.
Yeah.
And unlike today, where we were running a fast food restaurant at that time, everyone was baking. So I wanted to learn the secrets. But I had a few secrets of my own that my grandmother had taught me. And actually, the way the cream cheese pound cake came about was a couple of recipes, because we would share recipes. So the ladies would exchange recipes with me, and I would experiment in the kitchen back then a lot more than I do now. And that's how that one recipe developed.
The cream cheese. So that wasn't a long, that wasn't passed down for generations.
That was from some of the ladies on my route. I got into the kitchen and started messing around
People liked it. So now here's the cool thing. So now you've got this cream cheese pound cake, and it's a success. At least it's a hit on the route. And then you find out about it, but you don't get the call directly from Southern Living Magazine. Your boss did.
No, I got back off of my mail route. At the time, a gentleman named Floyd Benfield was my postmaster, and there was a note on my case that said, come see me. So I go back to see Floyd, and he said, close the door. And I sat down, and he said, so I hear you've been baking for the folks on your route. So I'd been doing this unbeknownst to everyone in the office. And I said, yeah, I've been doing that. Am I in trouble? He goes, oh, no, Southern Living called today. They want to do a special on you. I thought it was a joke.
Yeah.
And so Southern Living, I contacted them, and they sent a reporter up and a photographer. And first I had to submit. They wanted me to submit two of my best recipes. Yeah.
So what was the other recipe?
A Moravian sugar cake recipe.
Okay. So, but now it turns out they tested both, and the pound cake was off the charts, right?
Pound cake was off the charts. It's got the highest rating it had ever had of a pound cake at that time for Southern Living.
Yeah.
And so I remember, to this day, I still remember when they were taking pictures when they came up for the article, and they said it was going to be a pretty big deal. And the photographer said, smile, 20 million people worldwide are going to see your face, and your life will never be the same. And so I think the picture, I was actually in shock, because after the picture, I just laughed. I said, this is a joke. And here I am 22 years later, we're still talking about a cream cheese pound cake.
Well, and did your life change? I mean, you got a lot of response from this, right?
It was a little bit longer than 15 minutes of fame, yes, because when an article came out, the Postal Service wanted to use me somewhat as a poster boy. And so I had to do follow-up articles. I had to do a Southern Living home show in Charlotte in my postal uniform in front of ladies baking a cake, which is nothing more comfortable than that, with the stripes on in the uniform, you know. And they flew me to Washington. And so it was interesting. There were several times people would be driving on Highway 77 and see the Elkin exit. They would find me on my mail route and bring their magazine, and I would autograph their magazine. And so, again, I kept thinking it was somewhat of a joke,
yeah,
until a gentleman called our office four times in one day because his cake had fallen. And my postmaster told him on the fourth try, he said, don't call back. We're trying to run a business.
What do you think was the problem there with the falling cake?
I think it was using inferior ingredients. You have to use name brand flour and sugar.
As you might imagine, the recipe will be on our website, stateofthings.org. So we'll see it there. And this is great. So then, now, I can't believe people are stopping you on your route, asking you for, were they expecting you to have like a piece in your bag?
I guess so. Well, and then the next few years, see, the pressure was on, because at that time I had only been baking for a few folks. Well, when people saw the article, male customers that I never saw were coming to the door saying, you don't bake for me. So I had to start baking. Usually I would bake around a Christmas. For the holidays, yeah, I would do something a little special. I had to start baking like in October for the Christmas holidays. And my mail truck would be filled with mail and food. And I would be up till 3 in the morning baking stuff.
So. That's pretty amazing. Eventually, you did leave.
I did. In 2000, the pressure to keep up with the baking, I guess, got to me. But it was interesting, after I left, that I could go in restaurants and someone would notice me and say, we serve your pound cake here. And when my wife and I got married, our caterer said, I've been using your recipe, been making money off your pound cake. So she actually donated the cake for our wedding.
Wow.
So a lot of people made money off the pound cake.
Well, how about you? I mean, did you think about going into the baked good business?
Well, I got offers after the recipe came out to be some type of, get into some culinary experience. And again, when the article came out and you have to cook so much, you don't really want to get into a food employment.
It's not fun when it's work.
No.
So tell us about then the Stokes County Arts Council and when you got involved in that.
Yes, and that would have been 2004. And I left the Postal Service, was attending tennis teaching professional. I had done that previously.
Wow.
Yes, so I played a little bit of some professional tennis at one point in my life. And the Stokes County Arts Council had not had a director for several years. And my mom called me and said, you need to come home, come back to Stokes, and bring your experience and your contacts from your tennis and your pound cake days. I think you can do some good here. And Stokes, the Danbury Songwriters, Stokes County has a lot of creative people there. And so it was an easy decision, actually, to come back and be a part of an incredible artistic community.
I'm still trying to get my head around the postal and pound cake experience and how that contributes to the arts, but apparently it made perfect sense to at least your mom.
Well, yes. People skills. You're working on people skills. You're out there managing every day and customers and providing the best service that you can. And in a unique, I was listening to the chief earlier. You're looking for a unique way to lead people and to do things different in a different direction. And so that's what I wanted to bring as far as the Arts Council in Stokes, kind of a non-traditional way of doing things, a creative way of doing things in a new direction. And so as you see the Danbury Songwriters, I think I fit in with that.
Well, and that's the other thing, that the arts are alive and well, and it's a kind of a folk art movement, to be sure, but such a rich history of the arts that to be able to give it some direction and a home, because it never really had a house, right?
That's correct. The Arts Council, Stokes County Arts Council, began in 1975, and the North Carolina Arts Council has called us the Guerrilla Arts Council of North Carolina, because we had a small gallery and office. But for the most part, we were using schools, churches, restaurants, community parks, any venue we could to provide programs and services. And probably about 4 years ago, our organization embarked on the first capital project in the history of our organization, the Arts Place of Stokes, and multi-purpose cultural venue located right in downtown, beautiful downtown Danbury, about 3 miles from Hanging Rock State Park. So it's impacting the arts, but also tourism, economic development as well.
Right. So you're bringing it. So give us a sense of what the arts is. I mean, when we're talking about Stokes County Arts Council, what am I talking about?
Yeah, you're a rural nonprofit organization that is in touch with the people, directly in touch with the people throughout our county. We provide programs in all of our schools, programs for senior citizens, special needs adults, special needs children, public programs, and it's relational. I mean, we're right there with the people. We're not behind a desk, and we're different than your urban arts councils. I think the creativity in a rural area has to be so much greater because we have limited resources. Stokes County has no philanthropic foundations, and so it's creative business, it's creative nonprofit, and I think the grassroots. We're from the bottom up, and. Yeah. Again,
what does that mean? I mean, you said you're so close to Hanging Rock tourism. I mean, to be able to say, look, this is who we are. This is the kind of creativity that has always been here and have a showcase for it, because you know there are going to be people from all over looking for good music and things that they consider the local art scene, and not to mention a great piece of pound cake now and then. But just to be able to really showcase it and frame it, that takes some organizational ability apart from the great creative talent that has been there forever.
It does. It does take, and we treat it, it's a nonprofit. And I think historically, I probably shouldn't say this, but in rural areas, nonprofits, it's run by a lot of volunteers. It's not run as a business. Right. It's just who in the room wants to try to run the organization this time. And what we've tried to do with our board of directors and our staff at Stokes Arts is run it more like a business, more organization, planning, strategic planning, and tie it in with our assets, our natural resource assets, which are Hanging Rock State Park, the mountain, and an incredible river. And the arts partner well with those.
And some great singer-songwriters that you're going to hear right now, and then a little bit more after our break. I'm talking with Eddie McGee. He's the executive director of the Stokes County Arts Council. Find out more about him and, of course, the famous cream cheese pound cake recipe at our website, stateofthings.org. He's going to stay with us as we hear more from Stokes County and music of the Danbury Songwriters. So stay with us, and here they are right now.
circuit preacher, dressed up to look so fine. Soothing words of comfort can fool me every time. You got one foot in the gutter and one in the divine. Better ride on circuit preacher, ride on down the line. Better ride on circuit preacher down the line. Circuit preacher, you bring only strife. Who are you to tell me how to live a righteous life? Couldn't trust you with my wallet or my wife. Better ride on circuit preacher, ride on down the line. Better ride on circuit preacher down the line. Circuit preacher, your role is undefined. How am I to know if you're cruel or if you're kind? The best thing I can do is keep you off my mind. Better ride on circuit preacher, ride on down the line. Better ride on circuit preacher down the line. Circuit preacher, your wisdom might be wealth. The reason why you preach it all is left there on the shelf. And when I try to ask you, I'll be talking to myself. Better ride on circuit preacher, ride on down the line. Better ride on circuit preacher down the line. One more time. Better ride on circuit preacher, ride on down the line.
Danbury Songwriters, just ahead on The State of Things. Stay tuned.